Yeah. No, I switched you off because I can hear you fine. You know, from the screen. Yeah. Okay then. Good morning to everybody. Just a couple of... You're welcome. First of all, a quick apology. I did get myself dressed this morning, and this is a shirt I ironed earlier on, although you'd never know it. The second notice is we now have a complete set of new loudspeakers. So it may be a bit loud today because we haven't, obviously this is the first time we've used them. So please bear with us. It'll probably take us a couple of weeks to get the levels right. But any complaints, just come straight to them at the back. So, please, if you're new to the church, please do stay for a coffee afterwards. We have a team of school baristas out there ready to serve you with a variety of tea and coffee. That's either decaf or caffeinated. That's the end of the whatnots. Now then, do we have any youngsters who have had a birthday in the last week or coming up? We've got an elderly gentleman sitting behind me who's had a birthday this week.
Thanks, Dad.
Sorry, is there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Today is her
2 days ago. Yeah, Mark has kept this very, very quiet, probably for good reasons. I don't know if a six appears in it yet, but it looks as though it should do. Oh, sorry, that was just an example that Nathan can use later on in his sermon about bad language. Good morning to you. And how old are you? 16. Whoa. I remember I was 16 once. Okay, I have no idea whether there's anything in the birthday box that you'd like to take. Sorry? You carry on. Great stuff. Okay. So sorry, I didn't catch your name. Tanish.
Yeah.
Excellent. So we will all sing happy birthday to Tanish. Thank you very much. Okay, so Nathan is speaking later on with dealing with lethal language. Better get rid of that because that's going to interfere with it. And I've chosen as a scripture this morning verses from Colossians verse 3. Sorry, chapter 3, verse 12 to the end of the section. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Through him. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we turn our thoughts to you, Lord, we are so blessed to be able to gather here together to welcome you among us. Let's put behind us any family squabbles, any small irritations, and help us to repent of any harsh words we've spoken and forgive any that have been directed at us. Let us praise and worship you with a pure heart. A gentle tongue, but with a loud singing voice. Amen. So we're going to enter a time of praise and worship now. Please, if you wish to stand, to sit. Brilliant. If you wish to sit, fine. As you wish. But we'll start off with an old hymn, which is a wonderful hymn. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Oops. Where did we start at?
Oh,
praise you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. I will say, we'll take, notch it down a bit, it sort of starts off quiet. But we come towards time of communion, just sing one more song, which is, I promise you, a quiet one, laid back.
Worship to God, my Savior. just sing verse 1 again. All of my heart.
Deacons, come. We're going to prepare to share communion together. Beautiful time of worship, reminding us of God's love, reminding us that Jesus Christ is our Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we should never, ever get tired of talking about the cross, talking about our salvation through Jesus Christ. That's why we're here today. It's because of Jesus. And Paul says, as often as we do this, we should do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. So you are invited, my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you know him, if you have a relationship with him, you are more than welcome to partake of this sacred meal. This meal is a symbol of something that is very special and significant to us here in the Christian faith. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Amen? I'm going to ask one of our deacons to come now, pray God's blessing over the bread and the wine.
Father God, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for the privilege to gather at your table together as a family under you. Even as we eat what represents your body and we drink of what represents your blood, we pray that as we take them in, oh God, we will be cleansed, we will be sanctified, and we will be made whole, and that we will be able to stand before you, oh God, to worship you and to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before you. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around a table with his disciples, after supper he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, "Take and eat, friends, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Amen. Amen. Church, as you are now served what represents the body of Jesus Christ that was wounded for us on the cross of Calvary, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. our Lord Jesus Christ given for you? What have our Lord Jesus given for you? In like manner, church, he then took the cup and he said these words: "This cup will now be the new covenant that will be sealed in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that promise and guarantee that Jesus Christ will one day make his return." Amen. As you are now served, church, what represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness and the pardon of our sins. Please do retain your cups and then we will drink together as a sign of our unity that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's drink together, church, the blood of Jesus shed for us. Father, we want to thank you always for the greatest gift ever known, that you sent your Son into this world to be the light of the world and to be the Messiah, the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray as your body, as your children, sons and daughters, that we will continue to live our lives as a reflection of your love each and every day. We pray that our lives will bear witness and testify to the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. Would you help us, Lord, to point to you in our words, in our actions, everything that we do. May we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cover us, we pray, under your blood. Protect us from evil. Deliver us from all that the enemy wants to bring in our way. And we pray that we can live our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. To you we give all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Deacon. Thank you. We're going to welcome to our family some new members of the church. Are we excited about that? Amen. So I'm going to call these individuals, if you can come and just make a line here at the front and turn around so that we all can see you. At first, Lewis, who's sitting on the front. Turn around. I'm going to put you on the mic. Irfan. Keely. Coming up, Keely. Paul Holland, come down, Paul. And Lacey. While we are waiting on Paul to come down, we are so grateful that these individuals have desired to become members of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church. And aren't we glad about it, church? Yeah. Amen. Let me come down here. So on behalf of the members of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church, it is my privilege and delight to welcome you as an official member of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church and to extend to you the right hand of fellowship. God bless you. In Jesus' name, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, Kim. Let's pray for them as a family. And please, if you haven't had an opportunity to speak to them yet, please do after church. Get to know them. These are wonderful people. And we're grateful for what they will bring to our church family here at Sitting Bourne, aren't we? We're grateful for what they will bring. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are continuing, Lord, to grow us as a family, as a membership. And we know, Lord, that you are the one who has drawn them here, no one else. We thank you that you continue to lead and guide us. You direct our footsteps. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our comforter and our guide. And we thank you that you have guided their footsteps to come here and to be a part of this local body of faith. And we are so grateful that they are here. And we pray as a church family that we will continually surround them with our prayers, with our support, with our encouragement. And that as a church family, we would give open doors and opportunities for them to continually grow in the wisdom and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be actively involved in the local church, serving you in ministry here in this place. So we thank you for what they will bring. We thank you for what they will add to this church. And we pray that you'll continually surround them with your protection, your peace, and your grace. We thank you for them. and we welcome them as members here of Sittingbourne Baptist Church to your glory and to your honour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for them. Amen. Now, the question is, does anyone support Liverpool here? Amen.
So before we, as we go back into song, before we come to hear from Nathan, it's now time for the children and youngsters to go off to their lessons, their own classes. If you do that while we sing Light of the World.
Thank you that you are altogether lovely and wonderful to us. We're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your mercy. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And Lord, now as we come to feast on your word, we pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Would you encourage us? Would you uplift us? Would you challenge us? We thank you that your word gives life. So would you meet us at the area of our need this morning? Thank you for each and every life, each and every one who is here today. And we thank you that you love us all unconditionally and you have a great plan for our lives. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ian and the worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. And I only have about 5 minutes or so, so I'm just going to read briefly, and then I hope you know that's five preaching minutes. There's a difference. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. I'm going to read verse 43 and verse number 45. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." And verse 45 says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." Here's the key part. "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The King James Version says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." I'm speaking today from this thought: are we ready to deal with lethal language? Would you say that with me? Are we ready to deal with lethal language? There was a man named Billy who was desperately trying to know and understand God's will for his life. So first, he wanted to have a word with his pastor. He wanted to seek some advice from his pastor in his local church. He said, "Pastor, I want to know God's will for my life. Can you help me?" And his pastor said to him, "I want you to read God's word. If you want to know God's will for your life, read his word." So Billy decided to pick up his Bible and to begin to read the word of God. But Billy didn't know where to start or what book to start with out of the 66 that we have. So Billy decided to do something. He made a decision that he would close his eyes, that he would open his Bible, and randomly, whilst his eyes are shut, he would allow his finger to rest on a particular portion of scripture. And whatever that verse or portion would be, that would be God speaking to Billy and telling him what the will of God is for his life. So Billy opened his Bible with his eyes closed, and to his surprise, his finger landed on the portion of scripture where it says, "And Judas went and hanged himself." So he said, "No, that can't be. That can't be what God wants me to know. That can't be the will of God for my life." So he closed his eyes again. He put his hand on the scriptures. He turned the pages of the Bible with his eyes closed. And the next portion of scripture that he was led to as he opened his eyes was, "Go and do likewise." So Billy said, "No, surely not. That can't be the will of God for my life. Why would God want me to know this? This can't be it. So he closed his eyes again, church. And he went back, arbitrarily, just pointing his finger on whatever text he could find. And as he opened his eyes for the third time, he came across the point of scripture where it says, "What thou doest, do it quickly." You see, without context, you are left with a con. It's very important that as we read the Bible, as we listen to what God is saying through his word, it's important that we study God's word within its context. It is not the will of God for us to close our eyes and just to aimlessly pick up the Bible and just aimlessly pick out whatever scripture that our finger rests on. But God desires for us to search his word, the totality of his word, so that we can get a full understanding and a full picture of what God wants to reveal in our lives. Amen? Amen. And just like Billy, I believe that we, if we're not careful, we can develop a very casual and even a very careless approach to the words that we take in, that we listen to, and also develop a casual approach to the words that come out of our mouths. And Craig Groeschel, in the book Soul Detox, he lets us know that one of the challenges that we face as human beings is that we often undervalue what he says and play down the significance and the importance of our words. The words that we listen to and also the words that we speak. Because in an effort for us to guard against that unwanted label of being just a man or a woman that's just all talk and no action, he says that we put this guardrail in place because we don't want to be associated as a person that's all talk and no action. But he says, in doing so, we devalue the spoken words that we listen to and that we also speak. So we say things like this: action speaks louder than words. And that's absolutely right. Actions do speak louder than words. We also say things like, talk is cheap. Or don't just talk the talk, but we should walk the walk. But although those things are true, we've got to be very careful that we diminish and devalue the power of words. Yes, actions speak louder than words, but please know, church, that words have power. We should never underestimate or devalue the significance and the power of our words. In the words of Franklin Jones, he says, if anyone thinks talk is cheap, they should get some legal advice. Because words are powerful. Words carry weight. In fact, the Bible puts it this way: death and life is within the power of our tongue. Paul puts it this way in the book of Romans chapter 10, that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that God had raised Jesus Christ from the dead, then we shall be saved. Another portion of scripture says it's that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So we should never devalue the importance and the significance of our words. James goes a step further and he says this, that out of the same mouth we can bless God, and out of the very same mouth we can curse our brother and our sister. So church, whatever we do, please don't underestimate the power of your words. If we are going to have wholesome speech as Christians, if we are going to have what the Bible calls edifying speech, if we are desiring to speak words of life and not words of death, then I believe the challenge for us this year as a church and as individuals is we have to deal with lethal language. We have to deal with this year the words that we speak that are harmful, the words that we speak that are not of God, the words that we speak that do not build people up, but they bring people down. We have to deal with that criticizing spirit. Always want to point out what's not right. You see, it's very easy to sit on the sidelines and look to the stage and say, they should be doing this, they should be doing that. But the question is, why don't you come up and have a go? Can you stand the heat? Can you stand the intensity of being in charge or leading from the front? So the challenge for us this year, church, is we have to get to grips with the words that we speak, so that the words that we speak build up and do not tear down. So very briefly, I'm going to lift for us six brief points that if we are going to deal with our language this year, so that we can have fruitful relationships, so that we can have a church that's unified, so that we can have harmony and peace in our homes, amongst our families, then I believe we have to deal with this lethal language. Number one, here it is. Don't just watch our mouths, watch our hearts. Don't just watch our mouths, but watch our hearts. It's interesting that Jesus says in Luke 6 that a man or a woman brings good things out of the good, not stored in the mouth, but it's stored in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So sometimes when unwholesome words are coming out of the mouth, it's not really a case of watching the mouth, it's watching and guarding our hearts. What is going on the inside of us? You ever come across someone before that they're just always lashing out, always frustrated and angry, seems to be always bothered and hot-tempered? On the surface, we can see what's coming out, but we don't know what's going on within. And sometimes we can discard people like that and say, they're just, what's wrong with them? But could it be that there's something going on internally that's causing that person to lash out, causing that person to speak out? Maybe there's something going on within. There's trauma, there's pain, there's rejection, there's hurt, there's undealt with stuff and baggage. It's causing them to speak out in a painful way. So Jesus says we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to be careful of what we are listening to. We've got to be careful of what we take in. Because what goes in will come out. So above all else, this year we've got to guard our hearts, church. For everything, the issues of life, it flows from our hearts. And if we want to be healthy this year in the words that we speak and listen to, then this year the challenge for us, we've got to guard our hearts. Amen? Amen. Number two, we've got to determine to listen. Listen more than just aimless talk. Look what Proverbs chapter 18 says. In verse number 18, it says, fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Fools find no pleasure in listening, in understanding, but they delight in just airing their own opinions. And then he goes on to say, the mouths of fools are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their very lives. You ever had a conversation with someone and all they're interested in is speaking, but they don't want to listen? And you can't get a word in edgeway. We've got to be careful that we're not just wanting to speak our opinion, speak our views, without gaining understanding. We've got to listen, get context, get understanding before we air our views and our opinions. That's not to mean that our opinions don't matter, but it's important that we recognize that, because sometimes we think we're the smartest person in every room. That's not always the case. We've got to listen to people, because if we listen, we will learn from other people. Solomon says the mouths of fools are their undoing. How many times do we run into trouble because we don't listen before we speak? Think of all of the calamities in our world. I don't want to name any names, but we have someone right now in the White House. Does a lot of talking, but not always quick to listen. Imposing tariffs on us now. Punishing us because we're sticking up for a sovereign territory. Got to be careful with being hot-tempered, just wanting to speak out all the time. But we've got to, no, listen. Determined to listen more than aimless talk. But number three, resolve to be a gossip killer and not a gossip spreader. Will you say that with me, church? Resolve to be a gossip killer, not a spreader. Yes. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, Solomon says, a gossiper betrays confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. Avoid anyone who talks too much. Do you know one of the primary reasons, I believe, why even in churches where there can be tension, and even why people may leave a church, is because of gossip. Confidence that has been broken amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. Gossip, Solomon says, it betrays confidence. I never shall forget, years ago in my former church, it was a baby blessing. And of course, whenever there are baby blessings, people invite their families and people who don't ordinarily come to the church. And on this occasion, there was a young lady that came, and she was dressed, you know, in quite revealing attire. And the looks and the stares that poor lady received, it made her so uncomfortable that she left the church. She couldn't even stay throughout the course of the service because of the looks that she received from what's supposed to be children of God, Christians. And the family member who attended the church was so upset that she brought her family member just to a service for a baby blessing. And someone who had never perhaps been to church before was run out of the church based on the looks and the frowns of other people that looked down on her based on what she was wearing. We've got to be careful, church. And I'm so glad we don't have that attitude here, do we? Because the challenge is, it's not about what we wear, but it's about the contents of our heart. And it doesn't matter what we have on. The same grace that saved us can save that man or a woman that comes through the doors. We've got to resolve to get rid of bitterness and envy, jealousy, and yes, gossip that can kill and fracture relationships. There should be a level within the church, within the body of Christ, that if a brother goes to another brother and shares with that brother and says, brother, I'm struggling. Brother, I'm going through a difficult time. Can you pray for me? That brother should have the confidence in his friend in the church to know that that's not going to go any further. That he's not going to hear about it the next day on Facebook. Gossip betrays. And Solomon says you've got to avoid such people. Avoid anyone who talks too much. And then following on from that, number four, I've put it this way. Some things just don't need commentary. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says this. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. Some things just don't need commentary. We don't need to respond to every word that is spoken. When I was growing up, I used to love watching Mr. Bean. I loved watching Mr. Bean. And Mr. Bean was so talented that he didn't even have to say much throughout the whole of of the show. He would just mumble and murmur for the whole period of the show. And we would be engaged in everything that he's doing. And so it is even in the natural, in our everyday lives. Got to be careful with just always having something to say. Some things just don't need commentary. And again, Solomon lets us know that by holding our tongue, by taming the tongue, by listening and gathering information before we speak, there's wisdom in that. Because wisdom is not just found in noise, but wisdom is more prevalent in silence. Number five, remember the tone of our speech matters. Look what Proverbs chapter 15, 1 says. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Sometimes it's not a matter of what we say, but it's how we say it. When I used to play football, one of the things that was a challenge for me when I was put up the age groups as around about 13 or 14, and I was put up the age groups, and then evidently I would play around 16, I was playing men's football in the men's category. But one of the big changes that I found out is that with men's and adults football, the way that they communicated and spoke to each other, it was far different from youth football. They spoke to each other in such a harsh manner. They would shout at each other. They would curse each other. But then after, they would just go and have a drink as if nothing happened. But that was the environment. It was a competitive nature. But as we go throughout life, whether it's at work, whether it's in our families, and yes, especially within the church, Bible lets us know that we've got to be gentle with our tone. That is a trait of a Christian. We've got to seek to have a gentle response. I know we all can get frustrated at times, and there are things that can get on our nerves. We're human beings. Even Jesus Christ himself had righteous indignation when he saw that they were selling practical things in the temple. There are times when we do have to get upset. So we've got to be careful that we don't just allow anger to spiral out of control, that we speak down on each other. Because harsh words, it creates more tension and anger. But a soft answer, it turns away wrath. But here's the final one. Let's read this one together. Are you team construction or deconstruction? Look what Ephesians chapter 4 says, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those whom listen. The difference between those that work within the construction and deconstruction is those that work within construction, they are tasked with building up. But those that work within deconstruction, their job is to tear down. And the challenge for each and every one of us as Christians and as church, the church of the Lord Jesus, is are we a part of the team construction, building each other up? Or are we a part of deconstruction, tearing things down? What the church needs is people that want to build up in the kingdom of God, that wants to see growth and development and lives changed through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what we don't need is those that want to tear down, because that is the plan of the enemy. The enemy hates unity. The enemy wants division amongst the body of Christ. In closing, Craig Rochelle in the book tells a story of how he can look back to when he was in what would be our equivalent of year 6 in primary school. And he says he looks back on year six and can always remember the words that were spoken to him by a fellow student, a young girl who said to him, "You are so ugly." And for many years, those words, they just played on his mind and his heart. You are ugly. Because words are powerful. They can create a lodging place in our hearts. I'm sure if we were to go around this room, I'm sure some of us can recount some things that have been said to us many years ago that we can still remember to this day. Maybe there was someone who said, "You won't amount to anything." Maybe there was someone who criticized your looks. Maybe there's someone who said, you'll never get married. These hurtful words can weigh down on our souls. And if we're not careful, they can cause us to be bound and held back by these unwanted words. But in closing, I want to encourage us this morning that if there's anyone here today who is still stuck on words that were hurtful, still stuck on words that brought you down, I want to encourage you through God's word, because it's not really about what others say about you, it's about what your Creator thinks about you. So here's what your Creator thinks about you. Here's what your Creator thinks about me. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you've done in your life, this is what your God thinks about you. Number one, he calls us his friends. You're not excited about that. We are his, and we are joint heirs with Christ. We are children of God. Sometimes throughout life, there are times when people say, "I don't want to be your friend anymore. Don't text me, don't call me. I don't want to have any communication with you." But yet still Jesus says, "You are my friend." And he is a friend, Solomon says, that sticks closer than a brother. He doesn't go away in the difficult times. Here's another thing. God says to us that when we come to him, we can become a new creation. The old things, the former things, they are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Are we grateful that we are a new person in Christ? A new identity, not scarred by the former way of life and sin. He goes on to say that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. That is what he has to say about you. That's the truth. So if anyone wants to speak down on your looks or say you're ugly, you don't have what it takes, just tell them, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." That's what God says about me. Here's another one. Here's words that God says about us. We are chosen. He chose us. Yes, you. Yes, me. We were not from Buckingham Palace. We did not inherit a kingdom, but yet still he chose us. Hallelujah. Amen. We're chosen and we are dearly loved. And here's one more. I could go on all day, but here's one more. We are forgiven and we are free. The penalty has been paid through Jesus Christ and his blood. We have been set free from the bondage and the snare of sin. That's what God has to say about you. So I pray that if that is the case, that God has all those wonderful things to say about us, knowing that we have not always done the right thing, then the challenge for us as the church is we have to have good things to say about each other. If God looks at us and he says, we're wonderfully made, we're forgiven, we're free, we're chosen, we're children of God, despite us, then who are we to speak and look down on our brother and sister? Let's speak words that build up construction rather than tear down deconstruction. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your words are life. And Lord, I don't know who this is for, but I sense very strongly that someone is holding on to the baggage of words that were spoken in their lives. A loved one who said something very hurtful and to this day struggling to get over it. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would set them free right now, that they would believe the truth of the words that you speak and not the lies of words that are not from you. Help us to focus on the words that build up and not the words that tear down. Your words give life. Your word gives freedom. Your word gives grace and mercy. So would you help us, Lord, to be careful with the words that we speak. Help us to be listeners and not just speakers. Help us, Lord, not to be gossipers. And help us, Lord, to deal, Lord, with any malice or bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, so that we can speak to each other words of life, grace and truth. We thank you this year that this will be a year where words build up in this place and not tear down. That there will be harmony and peace in this place, not division and confusion. That Father, your word will go forth with power and with life. And that all that will hear your word will respond to your word and say, what must I do to be saved? Lord, we pray for what you will do this year. You're going to mend relationships. You're going to bring reconciliation to dormant relationships for many years. You're going to bring healing and you're going to bring grace. We thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As the worship team come back, we're going to have our final song. I'm going to pray God's blessing, and then we're going to be dismissed now at this point, and then we can have our final song as we go out. But I just want to encourage all those who are not yet a part of a small group. If you're not part of a house group, then we have a number of house groups in our church. We have options available for you, and we have started already this year with some great groups. We had a great online Bible study this week and had some very challenging questions put to me. We had a really good time. So I want to encourage you, if you're not yet part of a small group and you would like to be part of one, come and speak to me. If you want to come to an in-person group, you can join an in-person group. If you can't make an in-person group and you want to meet online, then we can have that option for you as well. But it'll be really good if we can see more people a part of our small group so that we can grow together. Amen. Also, a final notice for those who will be getting baptized next month. We're going to have a baptism next month. We have about five or six, I believe, we're going to be baptized. So our first class will be after this service, right here in the sanctuary. So we'll meet after the service. We'll have our baptismal class. Amen. And if there's anyone else that wants to be baptized, you're more than welcome to come and join us after the service for our baptismal class. Let me pray the benediction, then we have our final song as we go. Father, we thank you for this service today. We thank you so much that you are encouraging us to watch our mouths, but most of all, guard our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. Thank you so much that we are on the same team, and we pray that we will use our words each and every day to build up and not to tear down. As we leave this place now, but never depart from your presence, we pray that we will go in the wisdom and in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. 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 Coffee's in the lounge.